On this National Ag Day, we're looking at a shift when it comes to price action. Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Mike Zuzulo joins us this afternoon with Global Commodity Analytics. So let's talk about the shift that you've seen today and how that's kind of filtering in with the energy prices.
Yeah, Monday was about outflows in commodities, except for the soy complex and the cattle complex, Susan. But sticking with the grains and soybeans for right now, we had the support in the soybean complex through the soybean oil and the EPA administrator acknowledging that new hard data, was going to be coming out maybe as soon as the end of this week, especially definitely, it sounds like, by the end of this month. And with President Trump's celebration of agriculture at the White House at the end of this week, it kind of firmed up today that we were going to get some data as we got into the end of this week. And so I think that really helped the soybean oil stick with the program of staying strong, even though the crude oil market was down, 8 to 10% on Monday's trade. Today, we saw the inflows come back into the wheat, into the corn, but kind of begrudgingly, even though we saw a 4% gain in the crude oil market and at times 5% getting back above $90 a barrel, I think part of the issue was the wheat was a latecomer, not acknowledging some of the condition reports that we saw on Monday afternoon. And also the dollar was able to rally over 0.5% and almost 0.2% at times. That seemed to give the wheat market a little bit of a more negative tone on Tuesday than we would have liked to have seen. And that kind of put corn in the category of, hey, we want to go higher. I think most of the farmers selling of old crop corn is about wrapped up at this stage. Farmers getting ready to plant. They're planting hard now in Texas, in fact. And it was a situation where the corn really saw some daylight and some short covering, but it didn't have much to work with until the wheat finally came around late in the session.
So looking at the drought conditions worsening, I want to look specifically first at winter wheat, because there's been some concerns. We've seen a drop in those condition ratings that came out from the states yesterday.
Yeah, and I told clients that I'm now going to be below 50 bushels an acre nationally for the wheat crop at this stage because of the winter wheat. And we still have some issues when it comes to durum and when it comes to spring wheat as well. But with Kansas dropping 6 points, that's what's been holding up the whole national average, it would seem to me, dropping 6 at 46% good to excellent now. Oklahoma lost another 4, which is very hard to do when you're already in kind of the gutter in terms of good to excellent conditions. But that state is now only 14% good to excellent, matching up with Texas. It did get a bump of 1 point, but Texas still only 16% good to excellent, followed by Colorado, which lost 5 points, down 24%. You throw Nebraska into the mix of Oklahoma, Colorado, Texas, you're talking about a third of the winter wheat acres that we're going to be looking at here in harvest in the not-too-distant future. And I think we're going to see another worsening trend again. And unlike Monday's forecast, and maybe this is one of the things the trade really didn't appreciate or is waiting for more detail on, Susan, is the idea that Monday's forecast showed quite a bit of rain coming in early next week for some of these driest areas. But Tuesday, that rainfall, a lot of it was pulled out.
What do you see concern-wise? I mean, for our growers, as they look at this, and you know that old saying, you know, plant in the dust, the bins will bust. But there seems to be a lot more heavy concern about this dryness this year.
Well, there is, and I think it's because we have never gone into dormancy in a lot of these states that you and I are talking about. And not only did I see that firsthand, but clients have told me that and subscribers have told me that. And so the crop is much farther along with a lot less precip. And, you know, to give you an idea, Oklahoma and Nebraska are running about the third and fourth worst state conditions in terms of dryness in 131 years, and I think Texas is either the first or second at this point. But you're talking about being in the top five worst drought conditions as far as temperature and precip in some of these states, and I just wonder if we're not running out of runway to be able to make the crop good, especially with 90 degrees coming out here in the later part of this week again in some of these key states.
Switch gears and look at the livestock side of everything, Mike. I mean, cattle numbers have moved higher, but more specifically, you're talking about the breakout that's happening within the feeders.
it's great to see the March feeders as they get ready to go off the board on Friday, go back above 360 and close above 360, because that was kind of the make or break line in the sand on the old trend line, not to go below. And so we really have been able to gain back what we've lost over the course of the last couple of weeks. We can thank the cash trade. We can thank the cattle market, I think, and the cutout values quite a bit. But I also think the trade went on forward with buying and covering short, Susan, after what I would classify as kind of a negative placements number on the cattle on feed report last Friday. And when you see that we still have almost 11.6 million head on feed, which is about the same as we had last year at this time, it's a real head scratcher for an analyst like me, because you're talking about 9-10% less slaughter year to date now versus on feed numbers being the same. And so something's going to have to give, I fear, in the next few months, as far as these slaughter numbers are going to catch up to the on feed numbers. But I'm glad to see the feeders go ahead and appreciate, I think, more of the drought and the dry weather and a tough spot that the fires and the calves are all, you know, being put in right now due to the Mother Nature in these key cattle states.
And one area we don't really focus a lot on has been the hogs. And I know that they said they are pleased to see a bit of a bounce, but they need that bounce to continue in the green for fundamentals to really step in and support.
Yeah, I would agree with that, because we had the big run up and then we cooled off. We're still wondering about China. We've gotten some more negative news out of China. We do have a hogs and pigs report on Thursday at 2 o'clock Central Time. I think the big number there will be to keep the Kepco breeding number below 100%, and then keep the all hogs and pigs as of March 1, right around 100 or less than 101. These numbers, I think, could give us another move to the upside, because USDA did show in their retail data on Friday that the activity index, the feature report, really was good for the pork side of the equation. So we're in that heart of the Easter seasonal. So I'm hoping that we get a bounce off that hogs and pigs report after Thursday.
All right. Of course, joining us today has been Mike Zuzlow with Global Commodity Analytics. A quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss not suitable to all investors. That's the Tuesday market wrap-up right here on the American Ag Network.